So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Larry Mueller here. Glad you're with us today as we talk with you about salvage and reuse of building materials. With me in the studio today, Bob Falk of Madison, the research engineer with the U.S. Forest Products Lab. And with us by phone, we'll soon have him here, Brad Guy of University Park, Pennsylvania, director of operations of the Hammer Center at Penn State School of Architecture. And they have together have combined to write the book Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. And another one of our treasures, Jim Packard, with us today.
Thanks, Larry.
You're sort of, well, you're not, you're certainly not, you're well-known. You're a well-known treasure. You're not one of these unknown treasures.
That's true, especially to Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, because I've been around for a long time, 26 years.
Yeah.
And you've been around for 40 years this year. So between us, we have a lot of experience in these pledge drives, and it's great when a drive is going well. And we're reaching the end of our drive. We had a goal of $275,000 for the full drive. We're over $250,000 right now. So we're closing in, and we hope that you will take this opportunity to make your pledge and get us closer to the end at 800-383-9772. And if you pledge $120, we'll be very happy to send along the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card. It entitles you to dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, performances and attraction benefits like two-for-one admission at symphonies, children's museums, theaters, and more, and some online shopping benefits as well. That's a pledge of $10 a month or $120 at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. Larry, I know that we've got a goal for this hour.
We have a goal of $4,000 for the hour and I think $6,000 for the entire program, so we need to get started on that right away. We're really going to reach our goal today. I'm convinced it would be great if we could do it during this 90-minute time period, but that's probably not in the cards. What we really want to make is our goal of $4,000 for this hour and maybe exceed that as much as we can, because as soon as we reach our $275,000 goal, as Jim says, we are finished and we're all done, and then we can even spend more time talking with our guests today. If you've come to enjoy the kind of programming that we have here during this 11 to 12:30 time slot, and I know you do, we have some of our most popular programs have to do with remodeling, home repair kinds of issues. Today, Bob and Brad are going to be talking with us about salvaging materials from homes, or how you can use materials that have been salvaged for your in your own home or in your own construction that you're doing. And I think it's a great way to not only save money but help the environment. And those are, you know, those are a couple of things that we've tried to do a lot here on this program. Help you save some money and hopefully help the environment too, because we do a lot of programs that are related to those two themes. If you enjoy those kinds of programming, now would be a great time to call in, help us reach our goal, and help us get over that, what do we have, $23,428 to go to reach our goal. And as you can tell from the kind of the odd number, $23,428, not everybody contributes in round numbers, let's put it that way. There are people who contribute $50. There are people who contribute $120. We've had people call in with contributions of $1,000 or $1,200. A $500 contribution gets you to the 9XM Leadership Circle, and anything above that is, of course, gravy for you and for us, as a matter of fact. Give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772. Let's get the drive over and get on with the rest of our programming.
You know, this program goes along with the tradition of home repair and remodeling renovation programs that John Merrill has been involved with for a long time on Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we went into the green building programs and have done those fairly frequently. And this is just another outgrowth of what goes on in reusing materials that are probably better than you can get today in many cases. We'll talk about that, I know, with our guests. But this is a great book that we'll be talking about, some great information. And if you appreciate that kind of programming, then why not help us support the program and support the service? Because your calls make up 30% of our programming budget. We could not do the kind of programming that we do without your call. So we're trying to end this drive today. It's been a successful drive. It'll be successful when we end it. And you can help us along with your pledge at 800-383-9772.
Be the next person to call. Call in right now. If you've been thinking about it, now is the time to act. Call us at 1-800-383-9772. And we'll give you a little update as the program goes along as to how we're doing. We're down to $23,188 to reach that goal. And now we're going to be talking with Bob Falk and Brad Guy. Bob Falk with me in the studios from Madison, research engineer with U.S. Forest Products Laboratory and a groundbreaking researcher in the reuse of building materials. Bob, a real pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Brad Guy of University Park, Pennsylvania, is director of operations of the Hammer Center at Penn State School of Architecture. And between the two, Brad, are you there?
Yes, thanks.
Thanks a lot for being with us today. Brad and Bob have put together a book. They're co-authors of the book, Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. It's published by Taunton Press, and T-A-U-N-T-O-N, Taunton Press, and we're really happy to have them along today. And certainly, if you have some questions as we visit with them, you're most welcome at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And I'm going to ask you both the same question, but maybe start with Bob. When did you get so involved with salvaging and reusing materials?
Well, Larry, I work at the Forest Products Laboratory, and one of my research efforts there was to try to utilize the wood waste that's generated in this country, and we certainly generate a lot of it. And I also have some expertise in building. So I was looking for ways to use wood waste that is destined for our landfills, and it became obvious pretty quick that the lowest hanging fruit in all of that waste was the lumber that gets thrown away every year when buildings are demolished. And so I started looking for ways to reutilize that. Got involved with different folks that are interested in salvage, and met Brad along the way, and here we are. We wrote a book.
And here you are. And Brad Guy, how'd you get so interested?
Well, I'm actually trained as an architect, and I was at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida, working on green building, and had a friend whose lifelong dream was to open up a reuse building materials store that I was working with, and I hadn't really gotten into that in the overall green building agenda, but we were able to develop a research agenda around that and started taking old homes apart to understand their economics and what we could get out of them, and just went from there.
And you're connected with the Hammer Center, which is it seems like an apt name.
Well, one M instead of two.
Yes, one M instead of two. But I thought, well, you know, people hear that, they're going to think,
well, how about the Pry Center might be better. The gently pulling off center might be. Hammer is not necessarily always the best word in this field. But
I think you're right there. Well, your book covers kind of the three R's, I guess you could say, of resource conservation. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. You want to expand on that a little bit? Bob, I'll start with you.
Okay. Certainly, there's a hierarchy there. You to be good to the environment and to use materials wisely, we should first try to reduce the materials that we use, the number of materials, the volume of materials. Secondly, we should reuse materials where possible. And finally, recycle. And what we're promoting here in our book and in our efforts is for people to reuse things. And that is very environmentally preferable, because for every pound of material that you reuse, it's a pound you don't throw in the landfill. And having to remanufacture new materials generates carbon and is bad for the environment. It can generate pollution. And so every time you reuse, you're taking a positive step towards the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brad, comment from you?
Sure. Just to highlight what Bob said about 1 pound reused is 1 pound saved. Actually, it's more like something like 16 times saved. Alan Derning, in a book called The Secret Life of Everyday Stuff, figured out that about 94% of all the extracted resource to make the average product is wasted, and we only end up with about 6% of that final material. If you imagine mining the amount of tailings and so on just to get that 1 ounce of high-grade material. So we're not just saving one-to-one. We're actually saving all of the upstream impacts of extracting, processing, transporting, and so on.
Well, you say there are buried treasures in many of the buildings that are torn down every day. Give us an example. Let me start with Brad this time. Give us an example of the buried treasures.
Well, there's there's definitely the sort of unburied, the obvious treasures that are on the surface. Old light fixtures, cabinetry, doors, and windows are probably the most common and highly sought-after resale items, especially for a lot of the Habitat Restores. You have one there in Madison.
Yes, we do.
The Dane County Habitat Restore. And then, of course, you have all the other nice architectural elements, stairs and newel posts and mantels. The hidden treasures is really more in Bob's world, I would say. It's when you get beyond that and start looking at the lumber, the old-growth materials that are in buildings, again, that you will not find. Many of these old-growth forests are gone.
You know, and maybe you could comment some more on that as well, Bob. I can hearken back to my, I was probably about 13, when my dad and a neighbor deconstructed an old house that had been abandoned for many years, and the windows had all been broken out and everything, and they took that apart board by board, and they split the lumber at the end, and my dad built a garage from that interior wood, and that garage, you know, that's been a long time ago now, and that garage is still wonderful, and it's not showing any signs of wear.
Well, certainly the materials that are available, as Brad has said, in the form of lumber, other wood products such as siding and flooring, can be much, much higher quality than you can find today in your box store. Just as an example, hardwood flooring. You can find it in old buildings that is 10, 12, 14 feet in length. You'll never find that today. It's all little short pieces, and it's much more beautiful. You can find heart pine timber beams that are just gorgeous. We've cut down all the longleaf pine, which heart pine comes from, in this country, and so the only place to find it is in old buildings.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I really like your book. I'll tell you why. Because, among other things, it's well written, but you've got some great photography in the book to really step by step us step people through the various procedures that you have here in the book, and maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, I grew up on comic books, so I had to have lots of pictures to explain what was going on, but. We were fortunate that Brad and I were able to get out to different building sites and use pictures from all over the country and to demonstrate how to go about deconstruction or unbuilding, how to salvage these materials, and how to do it safely. I think the book gives you we tried to give it a big expanse. So whether you're looking at a barn, a house, an industrial building that may have timbers in it that you want to salvage, that we at least give you enough information that you can walk up to a building, decide whether or not it's something you want to tackle or whether it's beyond your means.
Yeah.
The primary focus, however, is for housing, for single-family houses.
Bob Falk and Brad Guy, our guests today. Bob, a researcher, a research engineer at U.S. Forest Products Lab, and Brad Guy of University Park, Pennsylvania, Director of Operations of the Hammer Center at Penn State School of Architecture, talking with us about salvage and reuse of building materials. They are the authors, co-authors of Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. Questions for them? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. 1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking salvage and reuse of building materials with Bob Falk and Brad Guy, authors of Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. Again, if you want to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I think we still have a line open. We can get you on, and maybe we better take some calls here. Let's go to Patty in Green Bay. Patty, hello.
Hello. I am very interested in finding out if your average consumer can acquire some of these salvaged materials. Rather than buying new, I'd be very interested in picking up some salvaged materials from deconstruction. Is that possible?
Yeah, and let's start with Bob Falk. Bob?
Certainly it is, and we've seen a dramatic growth in the number of Habitat for Humanity restores, which was mentioned earlier, opening up around the country. That is certainly one source. These are used building material stores, donated building materials, so that's one good place to look. There's also other, in many communities, just private reused building material stores that are available. You could also put an ad in the paper if you're looking for things. We're definitely seeing a growth in businesses that are not only going out and salvaging these materials, but having storefronts that you can come and buy them in.
Yeah, absolutely. Brad, anything to add to that?
Well, Bob and I are both very involved in the Building Materials Reuse Association, which is a nonprofit. Our mission is to support the reuse and recovery of building materials. And we have a website, which is buildingreuse.org. And on the front page is a directory that we've made state by state for all the reuse stores we could find. And you can actually search by state for the closest reuse store to you.
Oh, good. Can you repeat that website address, please?
It's buildingreuse.org.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Buildingreuse.org. I was trying to remember if there was a – I'm pretty sure there's one in Green Bay. Our call it Patty's from Green Bay area, so I'm pretty sure we can – well, go online, Patty, and see if you can. And Brad, give us that website once more.
It's buildingreuse.org.
Buildingreuse.org. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Deborah in Chautauqua, we'll go to you next. Hi, Deb.
Hi. My question for your guests are, where I live, there's a lot of barns that are, you know, getting old and starting to fall down. And I've often wondered if the beams that are in barns, sometimes you can have really huge beams in them. Is there anything in particular a person should look for as far as reusing them, safety issues? If you use wood from a barn, are there any types of insects that might be in the wood that you might not want to use in your house?
Oh, okay. Let's go to Bob first. Bob?
Yes. Certainly barns are a attractive source of wood. There are businesses around the country that do nothing but salvage barns. In many cases, the timbers are either reused in what's called timber frame construction or the heavy beam construction that you see in many homes, or it's resawn into flooring. And that's certainly the case with heart pine, which is very desirable as a flooring material. In some cases, you'll find hardwoods. Walnut, chestnut was used quite a bit, especially in Pennsylvania area. I would say here in Wisconsin, you'll find a variety of hardwoods. And what you need to look at first off is, and this is true with any unbuilding project, is safety is paramount. You certainly don't want to go into a building that's going to be a danger to you or someone else. And so what you want to look for is whether the barn has a leaky roof. And typically, if it's got a leaky roof, that means some of the members have rotted and it could be unstable. So it's good to have somebody that knows something about construction to look at it first. As far as pests, I think probably powder post beetles are one of the more common bugs that you'll find in timber. Termites, not so much of an issue, but could be. But powder posts, you can see they're little pin-sized holes, and you have to determine whether they're active or not. If you see little piles of powder posts, that'll indicate that they are active.
And there are ways to even deal with the powder post beetles, too. There are materials that are pretty non-toxic to us, I believe, that can actually be painted on.
Possibly. I'm not. You could call the Forest Products Lab, would be a good place, and talk to one of our entomologists there. And they used to use methyl bromide, which is a very toxic material for powder posts. And I wouldn't recommend that for anyone. But there are microwave techniques and some of the rest to get rid of it.
There are ways to do it. Any comment from you, Brad?
No, I would just say the same as Bob, and that maybe in the south, obviously, you have more severe problems with termites, but in the north, it's a little less so. And there are treatments. Now there's the whole boric acid. Those are non-toxic, but they are water-soluble as well, so that's more for interior reuse.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Deb. Appreciate the call. Boric acid was what I was trying to remember, and I was just flying out of my brain. I couldn't bring it up. Gary and Beloit, it's your turn. Hi, Gary.
Yeah. Hey, a woman was talking about planting recyclable stuff. There's a store down here in South Beloit, Illinois, called Ole's General Store, and he's got acres of stuff like that from barns, houses, hotels, and everything else, and pretty reasonable price. Then there's another one down in Lowe's Park, down in Rockford. It has recyclable stuff.
So they're around. They're around. And I don't know how many we have in Wisconsin, per se. And now Ole's General Store, that's probably, you know, Ole, he's been probably doing it for a long time.
He's open all week, and he's open on weekends.
Yeah.
And he's got everything. You're never surprised, from dinner bells to horseshoes to everything.
That's
cast iron bathtubs, some fancy stuff, Ian, toilets and everything else, and they're recyclable.
Well, Gary, where is he located again?
He's right here in South Beloit, Illinois, right down here on the state line.
South Beloit. Well, thanks very much. Appreciate your call. It's always good to hear that there are people out there doing that work, and it sounds like he's been around a while and has been successful at it. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. Becky in Milwaukee, it is your turn. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I would like to mention probably one of the oldest that I know of and one of the largest salvage companies is Salvage One in Chicago. However, they have more high-end architectural elements and maybe more geared. They do have a lot of residential, but also quite a bit geared towards the commercial use as well.
And it's called Salvage One in Chicago. Are you guys familiar? Brad, you familiar with that one?
That is in our directory, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's in the buildingreuse.org directory.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in as well with a question or comment. We're talking about salvaging the architectural treasures of unwanted houses. That's the subtitle of the book, Unbuilding. Our guests are the authors Bob Falk and Brad Guy. Really happy to have them here today. And David in East Troy, we will go to you next. David, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I just had a question concerning pallets. For years, just seeing like thousands and thousands of pallets everywhere. I just wondered if anyone had ever put any thought or effort into making stuff out of pallets.
Oh, that's a good question. Bob Falk?
Yes. In fact, not at the Forest Products Lab, but there's a researcher, Phil Ehrman, down in the Southern Forest Service Southern Research Station that's done a fair amount of research in salvaging pallets, reusing the wood to make flooring. Surprisingly, good wood goes into pallets. I think pallet mills, they just collect hardwoods from all over and they get good logs and not so good logs. You don't really need the highest quality in a pallet. And so you can find some extraordinary materials. So they've looked into this, whether there's businesses running to salvage it. There's a lot of rebuilding of pallets. It's certainly a big percentage of pallets are rebuilt for reuse as pallets. But for higher-end uses like flooring, there's been experimentation with it. Let me just say that.
Interesting. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. And Don in Eau Claire is next. Don, hello to you.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to mention when you were talking about barns, there used to be a place in Eau Claire. I don't know if they moved or went out, but it was called Barn Again, and they did mostly the siding and built some of the most beautiful rustic furniture you've ever seen in your life. So,
Barn Again.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody. Well, I'll tell you what, and you're not sure if they're still open, Don.
No, I'm not, but I've seen other places around that do use barn wood for building furniture, and it really is beautiful. You know, it looks antique when it's brand new.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe somebody knows, somebody else from Eau Claire will know if Barn Again is still in operation, but I appreciate the call. That's a kind of a nice use, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly one of the advantages of using old timber is the fact that it's sat in a building for decades and it's dried out. So
yeah,
these big timbers are real attractive because you can put them back into a house and they don't require redrying. And so they'll perform really well. Sometimes with furniture, you might want to dry them a little bit. Flooring manufacturers, depending on where you are in the country, will resaw and then redry some. But that's a real big advantage of reclaimed timber is the fact that it's dry.
Okay, thanks again for calling down. David in Viola, we will turn to you next. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I am in the process of building a house with a lot of reclaimed lumber. And one of the things that I ran into, now that the entire state is covered by building permits and building inspections, is the code issues regarding reused lumber. And I actually contacted Bob when I was conducting my research, and I'm wondering if Bob, you could talk a little bit about code issues regarding reused lumber, realizing that they're probably different all over the nation.
Yeah. Bob?
Well, certainly, and that's in my research life, that's something I've been working on. We've been testing a lot of old lumber at the Forest Products Lab, breaking it in our test machines to see what the residual strength of this old lumber is. You have to remember that the old lumber was damaged when it was put into place by pounding nails into it, and then it went through a lifetime of use, and that was damaged again when it was taken apart. And so you have a little different animal. We've talked about the high quality aspect, but a lot of that is more visual. There is some impact on the strength in the case of structural lumber. Due to this use. And so we're investigating that at the Forest Products Lab, and I am currently working with the wood industry, some of the grading agencies, the grade lumber, the American Forest and Paper Association, who publishes the design information that engineers and architects use to design with wood. And the bottom line is they're using a lot of this data now to try to come up with new options for reclaimed lumber that will be accepted by the National Building Code and then will trickle down and be accepted by local building code. So we are actively working on that. It's not finalized yet, but it's in the works.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for the show, Larry.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Thank you for calling. You can join in as well. We're going to Jonathan in Appleton next, but there's a line open for you at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Talking with Bob Falk and Brad Guy about their book titled Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. It's a beautifully done book with a lot of great illustrations and some wonderful photography, too, to guide you along and show you how to do some of this work and actually do quite a bit of it. So I'm hoping you'll take a look at the book. And by the way, I should mention Brad's donating the proceeds from the book to support deconstruction and reuse of materials in the Gulf Coast. That's pretty cool. What are your ongoing efforts in New Orleans, Brad? Maybe you could talk a little about that.
Sure, thanks. Well, the biggest thing, and it's, as you know, a very tragic situation. New Orleans has, to me, the architectural history of this country and some of the most amazing, not just the craftsmanship, but the lumber that's in there, the old cypress and heart pine. So what we're, our big picture is really to try to get FEMA and the state and other federal agencies who work in that context to change their ideas, to understand that deconstruction and reuse and recycling are good, viable, and important ways of dealing with the damaged housing, not necessarily in the immediate stage, but over this long term. If you read the paper, things are not going rapidly there. There's still many thousands of homes that are going to potentially be demolished. And working at that by actually doing some deconstruction projects, working with groups there such as the Habitat for Humanity, another nonprofit called the Green Project, to support them and their deconstruction skills and abilities. And also then just getting good data, understanding what can be salvaged, the limits. Again, as you can imagine, with the standing water, some of the damage of the storm and what's really viable.
Yeah.
And right now, actually this summer, for 6 weeks, we're going to take a group of 20 architecture students and do some projects right over the border in Mississippi, building with reclaimed material from New Orleans. And we hope that by doing that, we will develop some good ideas, reuse ideas, highlight some of the value and ways that this material can be reused. Because ultimately, the reuse is what drives the ability and the economics of recovering the material.
Yeah. Well, it's a noble work you're doing there. Jonathan and Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Jonathan.
Good morning. Thank you for the program. And
sure.
I want to encourage everyone, if they haven't already, make that pledge. My question is, how difficult or easy is this reclaimed material to work with? Do you need special, 100-year-old tools, or will the stuff I have in the basement work?
I'll
take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Well, Bob, what about it?
Well, I think one thing about deconstruction is that it's really a lot simpler than construction itself. And you don't need a lot of different tools. We go through in the book a chapter on tools, but you're generally taking things apart. When you build a house, you have to use levels and cut to length and angles and all that. Well, you don't need to do any of that. What you're basically doing, prying and pulling, and so crowbars and hammers, and of course safety items such as dust masks and other things are important. You certainly don't need old tools to do it. And in fact, more and more tools are coming out by different manufacturers, specialty tools, and we go over some of those in the book. I might mention one that has been a real innovation is what's called a nail kicker. It's like a nail gun, a pneumatic nail gun that you would see on a job site to nail things together. In this case, it's the end of the gun fits over the point end of the nail once you pull the board out of the house, and fits over the point end. You shoot the trigger and it ejects the nail. So it's a reverse. And you can really speed up nail pulling. And so we go over that in the book as well.
Whoa! I want to get one of those. Bill in Somerset, I think, has a question related to tools. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Well, you just answered the question.
Oh, we got it. Well, that he
must be psychic.
He had the same question. Do you need his question was the same. Do we need tools? Well, thanks. I'm glad you called in. Appreciate it. And
Larry, can I add
go ahead.
One you may not often think about is it's always good to have a metal detector around if you're really going to try to do any woodworking, planing especially. Because it's really hard sometimes to get every scrap of the nail or staple or a broken screw. So that might be one tool you may not think about, but a metal detector comes in really handy for any kind of when you're going to rework the wood to make sure you got all the metals out.
Oh, yeah.
And they're available very cheaply, too, on the order of $50 to $70 for a handheld one.
Okay. That's very good information to have. I know one of our parts of our deconstruction that we were doing at our home was to taking off a deck, and so it was a fair amount of work to get that deck off. With the that's why I was really interested in your comment about that nail gun, that reverse nail gun. But in fact, since we're not putting a deck back on, that deck is that all those wood material, almost all of them, we were able to save, and they're going to a friend's deck who's building a deck on his cabin in northern Wisconsin. So
Well, certainly on decks, if you have redwood and cedar, which a lot of old decks are made out of, that's very, very expensive these days, especially in the Midwest. And so if you can reuse that...
More power to you.
More power to you, because it'll save you a lot of money.
Karen in Portage, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm laughing listening because I've deconstructed, and the best tool is a sledgehammer and a good repertoire of swear words. I don't know which is worse, putting a nail in oak or getting it back out.
Yeah.
A comment that I wanted to make. Now, living on a farm, I have been scavenging my whole entire life for any kind of wood that I can get my hands on. I know a man that was a supervisor for the demolition, tear down of public buildings in Madison and the environs.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, he said he was tearing down a school, and I said, oh, plate glass. And he said, I can't get you anything from there. My contracts are such with the city and that I am not allowed to salvage or recycle or sell or utilize any of the materials. They must all be put in the landfill. So now I think a major thing for deconstruction is to get some of these ordinances changed that do not allow people to salvage material. And I'll hang up and listen to
you. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it makes a whole lot of sense, Bob, but what's going on here?
Well, I think that she's absolutely right. And this is something that constantly frustrates us, is sort of the built-in bureaucracy and regulations that really are a disincentive to reusing materials. And often it's bureaucratic. I think what's happened, we've talked about, the caller mentioned that she's done this her whole life, and we've heard allusions to doing this in the past. I think it used to be much more common for people to reuse materials. Certainly, I grew up with my father being a Depression-era remodeler. Mm-hmm. We didn't throw away anything. And,
no.
But I think what's happened over the decades is that we use more and more machinery to take down buildings, and time is of the essence. And also with safety regulations that have kept people away from putting their hands on materials. Everybody drives a machine. And so now it's become the norm that we just go in with a machine and solve the problem rather than using people. And it is very frustrating because you see some amazing materials that get thrown out. In schools, all the maple flooring that's on the basketball course, it's just
gorgeous,
wonderful
stuff.
If you ever get a chance, that's great stuff. All the benches that are in the locker rooms, that's often very high-quality material. And I'm sorry to hear that the caller did not get the opportunity to take advantage of that school.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. And Jenny in South Milwaukee, hi to you.
Oh, hi there. I wanted to let you know about Salvage Heaven in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a storefront with more like, I think, some residential, maybe some other commercial products, too. But, boy, I had fun going there. I just wanted a piece of oak to make a shelf.
Oh.
Tim also showed me how to tricks to remove the nails without damaging the finish. And it was finished three sides. So what more could I ask for?
Well, what more? You bumped out, did something there. I lost part of what you were saying, but I think I got it. Bob, come in.
I would just say that the trick in removing nails from finished trim is to remove them from the back side. And so if you pull off the trim, you get yourself a pair of nippers, and we'd show those in the book. Dull the edge a little bit so it doesn't snip the nail, or you can use a pair of pliers and pull the nail from the back side, and that doesn't pop out that little putty that's filled the nail hole and the associated finish around there. So that's the key in trim work.
Talking today with Bob Falk and Brad Guy, they are authors of the book Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking salvage and reuse of building materials today with Bob Falk and Brad Guy. Thanks a lot for listening in. Really appreciate it. Jim Packer joining us as well. And Jim, we have now raised $253,077 not on this show, but in the drive. And we have $21,923 to go to finish the drive.
That's right, and it'll take a few calls to do it, and we hope that yours will be the next call at 800-383-9772 with your pledge of financial support, or you're going to WPR.org and pledging at that very secure location. But if you pledge $120, that's $10 a month, we'll be very pleased to send along the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card with two-for-one dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, so you can recoup the amount of your investment within the next year, the length of the card. It includes performance and attraction benefits like two-for-one admissions at symphonies, children's museums, theaters, and more, which would be great, especially for what are we doing this summer, you know,
right,
with all those activities, and online shopping benefits as well. So that's 800-383-9772.
A pledge of any amount, of course, makes you a member of our Wisconsin Public Radio group here, and it's a big family, and it's growing, but there are many people who have yet to join in the family, and I'm hoping you'll be one of those today. You know, we've had nine people call in with contributions, and six of them have been new members, so have never pledged before or haven't pledged for a long time, and now they're contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio, and that 120, and I think most of them have been contributing $120, which is just great. If you can afford more, that's fine. If you can't afford that much, that's fine too. Whatever you can afford, you could join Marjorie in St. Paul. She loves this particular program, listens to WPR all the time. Richard in Clinton has been listening to public radio since before we were born, Jim.
Well,
from the 1930s.
That was before we were born.
that was before we were born. And Felicia in Madison recently started listening to Wisconsin Public Radio regularly, and this is her first time donation. She loves this program. She says it's a lot of fun and it's very informative. What do you think of that?
I think that's a good combination, and that's what you're known for, is presenting information in a humorous fashion that people remember and act upon. And we'd like you to act upon that idea by supporting the program. Listener support makes up 30% of our program budget. We couldn't do the 800 service. We couldn't do the WPR.org. We couldn't do the news bureaus. We couldn't do our news to National Public Radio and to Public Radio International without your call of support. So we're trying to wind up in the black for the fiscal year, and we need $21,800 to do it. So why not make your call at pledge $120 if you can at 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And what do we have, about 500,000 listeners, something like that in there, somewhere
in
there?
We do, and you know, at our peak, I think we had about 44,000 members, and that eroded a bit. I mean,
ooh,
we lost maybe 10% of those over the last 5 years. So
people die, they move away.
They move away, and we need to replace those with new members. So when you say that 6 of 9 callers to the program have been new members, that is really good. That's a good indication that we're doing the right thing and that people are responding. And we'd like you to respond right now. You know, a pledge is a financial contribution. You choose the amount. You choose how to pay. And WPR is important to you. That's why you go ahead and pledge.
And it's very easy to pledge. It's, it only take you a couple of minutes to call that 800-383-9772 number, or even to go online to WPR.org. Doesn't take very much time. It's very quick. It's very easy. And, you know, I'm just doing a little math here. If we had about 200 callers at $120, there's our goal.
Well, that's it right there.
That's it right there. You know, we're sitting here with 500,000 people who are listeners to Wisconsin Public Radio. Surely we can find 200 people who will call in with a $120 contribution. Are you one of those people? If you've never contributed before, maybe you haven't contributed in a long time, or maybe it's time for you to renew your contribution. There are certain set points in the year when there's renewal times, and this is one of those times. Early May. So if you haven't renewed, or if you've never contributed, or if you haven't contributed in a long time, help us out right now with your contribution. 200 people call in with a $120 contribution, and there you have it. We
that
are all done.
History.
We're all done at 1-800-383-9772. And I hope, you know, we've had a great response today to the program. We've had lots of people call in with questions for Bob and for Brad. And I think it's pretty typical when we have a program like this. We're talking about building or reusing building materials, salvaging. It's environmentally friendly. It's friendly on the pocketbook. There's a lot of reasons that people want to do this. And we've been happy to bring these kinds of programs to you in the past, and we certainly will be planning to do the same in the future. Programs on repair, programs on reuse, environmental programs. Every Wednesday we have an environmental program. These are some of the more popular programs we have, and of course, Garden Talk on Friday. These are very popular programs, and we could use a few votes of support here in the form of a financial contribution. Help us out right now. If you haven't contributed, now's the time to get out. Let's get this drive over with. We're at $21,400 to go. As I said, a couple hundred calls, and now it's probably a little less than that, 198 calls or 197 calls, and we've got our goal met. 1-800-383-9772. Call in now.
You don't have to come up with the dollars right at this moment. If you use your plastic, you can pay this off in installments and collect air miles afterwards or however you arrange your finances. But it is important that you know that you wouldn't, if you wanted to pledge a $500, you wouldn't have to come up with a $500 today to do it. And any amount is really welcome. We do not share your name or personal information. And I don't know whether you've checked or not, but many companies will match or perhaps even double your contribution because they're supporting Wisconsin Public Radio as well. So check with your human resources office and make your pledge right now. We're trying to wind up the drive today. It's started Thursday. We'd like to end it on Monday. We'd like to end it before 12:30, but we need 196 callers at $120 to accomplish this. And, of course, when you do pledge at $120, we'll send along the member benefit card that entitles you to two-for-one dining at many, many restaurants around Wisconsin and Minnesota in the Duluth area. Larry, you've recouped the amount of your investment.
Yes.
I know.
I have at least a dozen times I have used that member benefit card in the last year. And so I'm sure that it was over $200 in savings that I had for the dozen times that I was out dining. So, I mean, it's not to even me, you know, even yeah. I can figure out the value of the deal there, that it's a very good deal. It's a very good deal for us, and it's a very good deal for you, too, when you call in with a contribution. If you can afford $120 or even more, 500, join our 9XM Leadership Circle. That's great. We've got friendly volunteers. They're ready and willing and able to help you out. And there's some people are calling in right now, but there's open lines. I know it. If you're shy, don't want to talk to anybody, just go online to WPR.org. Whatever the amount you can afford, just it's an extra few dollars toward reach. And now we're, we went to 20,900, Jim. We have to do the math on that again. I wish I had my calculator with me that I could figure this out and divide 120
you're
using
into the calculator. I thought these were human calculations.
No, these are human calculations. These are human calculations.
Showed how quickly you could actually manipulate numbers. 800-383-9772 is the number that we would like you to think about and act upon right now with the pledge of financial support. The simple concept is that you listen and you enjoy the program. Therefore, you want to support the service because your calls make up 30% of our program budget. And that's the sort of the hard reality of economics today. There's a little bit of support from the state and from the federal government, and then we rely on you, though, for the bulk of the financial support that it takes to run Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a lean operation. We've checked, and I can find no fat anywhere. At 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
There may be a little fat within the studio itself. I could stand to go get a little leaner.
We're pointing no fingers today.
And my math shows me that we're at about 180 calls. 180 calls is what we need.
For $120
a
piece.
Yeah, about 180 calls at $120 a piece. That puts us right over the top. What do you think? 180 callers?
I think I heard the 180th, and I'm looking for 179.
All right, we've got that. Oh, and there's 178. A couple of people have called in with a contribution. We're hearing them. You may not hear those phone calls in the background. Maybe you do. I hope you do, because maybe that'll spur you on to making your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. As we get down to the last few calls, the last 177 calls right now that we've got to make in order to make our goal, give us a call now. Make your contribution at 1-800-383-9772. The big clunk in the back background that you heard was coming from our Pledge Central area.
Somebody
where we have a microphone. Somebody, maybe we got a great big contribution and one of our people fainted. I don't know. It's possible. There could have been a $1,000 contribution, and that always creates an uproar in Pledge Central. But they're a friendly lot. They're great fun. And I tell you what, they're a lot of fun to talk to. You'll enjoy it. If you want to send a little message, you like the show, or you want to encourage other people, when you call in with your contribution, just say, oh, hey, I like that Jim Packard guy. It's great. He's got the sexiest voice I've ever heard. Or, you know, whatever you want to say would be just fine. But 1-800-383-9772 is the number to call. 1-800-383-9772. We're getting down to the crunch time now, with and the numbers are going. I'm going to have to actually get a calculator out here to figure out.
20,781 to go. So that's like 76 calls at $120.
Yeah, somewhere in there. We'll figure that out. But whatever the amount, we know we've got a few to go. So give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Make your contribution. Our guests, Bob Falk and Brad Guy, are going to be with us right after the news. We'll have a chance to talk some more with them. But in the meantime, it's up to you. Give us a call now, 1-800-383-9772. And we'll be back with our guests in just a few minutes. Stay with us. Talking salvage and reuse of building materials today with our two guests, Bob Falk and Brad Guy, authors of the book titled Unbuilding, Salvaging the Architectural Treasures of Unwanted Houses. It's a wonderful book. I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. Certainly, if you have questions for them about salvage, about reuse of these building materials, how to do it, what's involved, whatever, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890, and we'll be happy to get you on the air and talk. And, you know, I tell you what, we have Mark in Green Bay just came on, so let's go to Mark and see what's on his mind. Mark, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, I hope I don't cut out on you here.
Okay.
My question, I've got two questions. First, I kind of feel that lumber hasn't achieved its true cost yet, and when it does achieve its true cost, we'll see more items recycled. And things that'll bring lumber to be used, recycled lumber to be used more, for example, landfill costs going up to what they should be, so guys can rationalize cleaning up lumber and reusing it. We reuse as much as we can, but at times it kind of goes against my business, but I feel we should be paying about 2-3 times the cost at the landfill, so it would be worth more to take the time to clean up some of this lumber. And secondly, I would like to know when your guests could possibly see this recycled lumber at the point where you have graders at a sawmill grading lumber as it comes off the line, that you'd have licensed regraders that could be looking at lumber at maybe at a local lumber yard where it's taken back and regrading this stuff from probably structural grade down to reframing grade or seeing it re-sawn. And, you know, I guess I'm just curious when they see some of this coming into the future.
Brad, let's go to you first. Then we'll get Bob to fill in, too.
Sure. Well, I have to agree that the cost of fuel and energy and materials are certainly not their true cost, as they call it, the externalities, they call them, things that one person doesn't pay that maybe someone else or a larger group would pay down the line, one way to put it. The two biggest ones, certainly landfill, when you have imagining the cost of closing a landfill, monitoring it, and any kind of potential remediation in the future, that is typically not the cost that one pays for disposal. And that understanding is definitely growing. for example, in places where you might have a fee that goes into a fund that in the future would help clean up or care for that landfill. And that would add maybe a few bucks to the cost, but it's really at least accounting for that. The other is transportation. You know, reuse is a local thing. You're salvaging from, you're not going to go salvage buildings necessarily from a far distance. You're going to typically salvage within a local community and transport that and reuse it as close as you can. And really, that's a big difference than harvesting the forest of Canada, for example, and shipping them to Florida. So there's really environmental and economics to saving. And Bob can speak, you know, definitely to the grading, but there's at least one or two reuse stores who have trained their staff to do grading and regrading. I know of at least one or two commercial entities that do regrading as part of their business, but certainly it is a growing thing, and I can let Bob definitely talk to the specifics of that.
Yeah, Bob, go ahead.
Well, I would say, you know, a lot of our effort, Brad and I, in writing this book and working with the Building Materials Reuse Association, is trying to make this more mainstream so that some of the frustrations that the caller mentioned and other callers have made won't be so commonplace. As far as the grading, as I mentioned earlier, we're doing work on that. There are some one grading agency out west, the West Coast Lumber Inspection Bureau, that will train people to grade, and we've seen some of that. Hopefully that will become more and more commonplace so you can go into various stores and be able to buy graded lumber. It might have a stamp on it that will say regraded, and the appropriate use for that material will be defined. I would also comment that what Brad said about the locality of deconstruction being sort of a local effort, I think that's a real important distinction to make, especially with the Katrina sort of disasters, is that if you use deconstruction, you can generate materials in the place that they're most needed. When people are rebuilding, we've heard of shortages of materials, building materials in some of these areas, and price gouging and some of the rest. Well, if you use deconstruction, you can bring some of those materials right back into use in the locality that they're needed, and integrate many of the materials, such as the architectural materials, that can help redefine that place. That's also true in many of our inner cities, large cities, where there's a lot of inner city homes and row houses and things that are torn down. It's amazing what's being just falling under the jaws of the track hoe.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark, for calling. Arnie in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Arnie.
Yeah, good morning. I'm kind of on the supply side of this thing. I've got an old barn, and so far all I've been able to maybe get out of it is a mess and a thank you. If it's that valuable, how come I can't get a little help covering up what's left?
Oh.
Well, I think value is a relative thing. It's not like every board is worth a ton of money, and you have to remember that any building removal, whether or not you're using demolition or deconstruction, costs something. It does require some labor, and generally the costs or the value of the materials do not cover the cost of the labor to take it down. So it just can reduce your cost.
Yeah. Thank you, Arnie. Ken and Viola, we turn to you next. Hi, Ken.
Hi there. Just calling in. I've spent a lifetime of salvaging and recycling materials, building materials. Everything from my house is built actually over a rock outcropping and on piers, but I used, from a barn I tore down, 10x10 red elm beams for the subfloor with 4x6 oak joist in it. And my workshop, which is, it's about 33 by 30, is entirely out of salvage material from barns and tobacco sheds I've tore down. My biggest outlay of cash on it was the insulation and stainless steel stovepipe for the wood stove that's in it. So there's a tremendous amount of money to be saved for on a personal level, if you're willing to put in the sweat equity to do the work and have an eye for what is a quality building to make it worth your while. And therein lies the struggle. Short of experience, I don't know how you'd know any better, or being able to consult somebody with some experience. But you mentioned a few things like, you know, the damage done with nails. What I find with salvage is you have to accept cutting off ends. You know, most of your structural lumber is nailed on the ends, you know, top and
yeah.
bottoms. And so if you've got a 16-foot plank, maybe it becomes a 15-foot plank when you're done. And your building, rather than deciding, I'm going to build a building, you know, 16 by 30, maybe you have to look at your materials and say, okay, I got to shrink this down to 14 by 28 because I have to cut off ends. And pounding nails out, a little trick is, particularly if the head is exposed, is to actually drive the head of the nail first, hit whack it once with a hammer and break it loose, and then go to the backside and pound it out. It'll pound out much more readily because with age and rust, it's like it's welded to the wood.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Bob? Is that a good idea?
Oh, well, it sounds like it. You can, the wood can be tightened around the nail, and that I hadn't really thought of that. Generally, you don't see the heads exposed, and but with these nail kickers, as I've talked about, the pneumatic gun, it doesn't seem to make any difference.
they just kick them out.
You just kick them out. The point about the length of the lumber is in having to cut off, that's certainly true. You can't salvage every bit of the lumber, and on every deconstruction site, you have to have a dumpster or a roll-off because there is going to be some waste. But certainly much less waste than if the whole building goes to the landfill.
And I wanted to mention, too, the Building Materials Reuse Association, by the way, is doing a conference May 14th through the 17th in Madison, if I'm not mistaken, Bob. It's at the UW Memorial Union.
That's right.
And anybody invited to that?
Everybody's invited that's interested in this. This is a national meeting. In fact, we have a lot of people coming internationally as well that are interested in this area. These would be practitioners, people that have products, tool manufacturers, a wide variety of people from all across the country. So this is the premier event if you're interested in building materials reuse, also in construction and demolition waste recycling.
And that's May 14th through the 17th. My birthday is May 14th, so you're starting on my birthday, and it'll be at the Memorial Union. And go to buildingreuse.org. And actually, is there a hyphen in there between building and reuse?
It'll work either way. If you put a hyphen or have it as just one full word, it'll still go to
the right place.
The right place. And there is a conference link there that'll take you to the University of Wisconsin Memorial Union conference site.
Buildingreuse.org for some more information on that. And a lot of the other information that has been brought up today during the program. Jim Packer joining us. Jim, I've done the math, and if we had $120 contributions, we've made our goal.
That is fantastic. You know, when we started the math on this, it was 200 calls, and now we're down to 150 calls at $120 to make our goal, which now is less than $20,000 to finish up this drive sometime this afternoon. What's the number that we're looking at?
$18,171. So if you divide that out by $120, which, of course, then gives every contributor a member benefit card, mm-hmm. that would be that's a wonderful way to do it. Although I must say, we had a very good contributor earlier who called in with a nice size contribution of $1,200.
$1,200, and we appreciate that caller from Stoddard for taking the initiative and making call of support, stepping up and going to the plate. And if you'd like to join them on that call, then it's 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. If you pledge at $120, as we said, $10 a month, we'll be glad to send along the member benefit card, and you can recoup the amount of your investment over the next year by using the 2-for-1 dining benefits throughout the state, performance and attraction benefits, online shopping benefits as well, and there's also a national tie-in, so if you go to Georgia, go to Atlanta, why you can, you know, go to restaurants down there, it's just a couple of dollars to be able to do that. So those are all details that you'll find out after you make your pledge at 800-383-9772. Help us wipe out the debt, deconstruct this debt, and put WPR in the black for the fiscal year. That's the way that we want to end, and we need $18,000 or a little less than 150 calls at $120.
We're now at 149 calls. I can tell you that right now. We're at 149 calls of $120. And, of course, that caller from Stoddard was kind of covering from those folks who for those folks who don't have the money and aren't able to afford. He actually covered for 10 people there. So I'm really pleased with that, and thanks a lot for that contribution. But thanks to everyone who has already contributed. Thank you. No matter what you've contributed, we really appreciate it a lot. Mia in Eagle River listens all the time. Michael in Lone Rock enjoys a lot of the programs. He drives a lot and enjoys listening to lots of different topics, and certainly we have plenty of different topics here on the Ideas Network, and particularly, I think, during this hour, we really try to mix it up with a variety of advice-type programs, everything from salvage and reuse of building materials, like we're talking about today with our authors of Unbuilding, Bob Falk and Brad Guy, to how to fix your house up, to how to fix your garden up, and how to make your garden grow, to the environment, to wildlife. We try to cover a broad range of topics. I hope those topics appeal to you. And I hope you'll call in with a contribution. We're at 149 more calls at $120 to make our goal here for the entire drive. And when we reach that, we're all done. We're not going any further once we get to $275,000. And now at $17,951. So about 148. Calls, maybe? 148.
All right, 148. So you be the 148th at 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. You would call because Wisconsin Public Radio's programming appeals to you to such an extent that you can hardly get along without hearing Larry day-to-day or any of the other call-in shows that go on. You know, we rely on your contribution to make our goals, to make our drive complete and successful, and you respond with your phone call because Wisconsin Public Radio is important to you. So if you can pledge at the $120 level, we'll be happy to send the member benefit card. If you can't afford that much, we're certainly glad to take your call as well. There are a number of people in Pledge Central who have already pledged, and they have joined the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, have responded to the invitations to come in and answer phones and be part of the pledge drives, and you can do the same thing with your call at 800-383-9772. Be the 146th person.
But 146 here. I'm just doing the math here. We're at $17,700. So there we have it. 146 more calls to go to reach our goal. If that's assuming $120. Jim and James in Chippewa Falls says it's the only sane radio today. I like that. That's good. Called in with a contribution. And as I mentioned, Mia in Eagle River called in with a contribution. What about you? Now, about half of our callers so far have been new contributors. So about half of the people who are calling in have never contributed before or haven't contributed in a long time. If you're among that 500,000 people or so who contribute or who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and you haven't contributed yet, I hope you'll take the time today to make that call. Maybe it's $120, maybe it's $500, maybe it's $50. We don't really care. We just care that you call in with a contribution, whatever the amount. Our experience shows, for the most part, that once people contribute, they continue to contribute until they leave the state or they pass on or something like that. And it's easy for you to do it. Just call 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Call in right now with your contribution. And we're down to about 144 now, Jim, 144 callers we could use.
WPR.org or 800-383-9772. Rest assured, we will not share your name or your personal information with anyone. It stays with us, and it is secure. And also a reminder that some companies will match your contribution or perhaps even double it. You can check with your human resource office. But we'd like to hear from you as we try to end the drive on a successful note with $17,500 to go. Larry's doing the math, but just realize that you're helping to pay for all kinds of programs, all things considered, Calling All Pets, Car Talk, Here on Earth, Old Time Radio, People's Pharmacy, Tent Show Radio, This American Life, Weekend Edition, What Do You Know, all programs that you're helping to pay for with your call. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you before 12:30. There's just a few minutes to go. It'll take just a minute or two for you to answer the questions that are necessary. It's just who you are and where you are and what you want to pledge is basically the information, and you'll be on your way. So any amount is welcome, 800-383-9772.
145 callers to go at the $120 contribution level, I think. Or maybe it's 144. 144. Let's say it's 144. How about those new members? If you've never contributed, now's a great time to help us out. $10 a month is what we're asking for from you. Or if you can't afford that much, less. Or, as our one caller did, pledged $100 a month. So I'll tell you what. And he has joined our 9XM Leadership Circle.
You'll be showing him the secret handshake.
I'll give him the secret handshake to get into the meetings, since I'm a member of that as well. But I tell you what, maybe you can't afford $500 or $1,200. Maybe you can afford, though, that $10 a month to put us over the top here. We've got 140. We would like 144 more people to call in with a $120 contribution, and that would put us over the top. Do it because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and you enjoy the many good programs that we have here. Bob Falk and Brad Guy are great examples of the guests that we have who know their business. Bob's a research engineer with Forest Products. Brad directs operations of the Hammer Center at Penn State School of Architecture. Just a good example of a couple of guys who've gotten together who have a burning desire to get people to salvage, to reuse the architectural treasures of unwanted houses. It's the title of the book, Unbuilding. I hope you'll get a copy of the book, but I also hope you'll spend $120 or more or less right now with a contribution at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online. By the way, it's instantaneous when you go online. Your total counts whenever you make the contribution. So WPR.org is another way to do it. Whatever you do, though, call in right now with your contribution. $17,381 to go, Jim.
How would you like to recoup the amount of your investment in Wisconsin Public Radio over the next year with a member benefit card? If you pledge at the $120 level, we'll send you the card. You go to a nearly 400 restaurants around Wisconsin and around the Duluth area, and I expect that will grow as well. And we'll also entitle you to performance and attraction benefits at symphonies, children's museums, theaters, and more. And there are online shopping benefits as well. So you can recoup the amount of your investment at 800-383-9772. It's a good way for you to get something back for what you're giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. We give on a daily basis in the programming that we perform, but you make it possible with your phone calls. So we're looking for your phone call right now, not for the program, but for the pledge at 800-383-9772.
And we're down to the last 2 minutes here before this is the end of the pledge drive for this particular program. So it's your last opportunity to call in with a contribution. And if you can afford a large amount, that's great. If you can't afford a large amount, that's okay, too. Whatever you can afford is what we want you to contribute today. I'm starting to lose my voice here, Jim. I'm so excited about it. Here we need about 140 calls.
Well, it's a good thing the drive isn't going any further, Larry.
We need about 140 calls to sort of make our goal for the entire drive. You can help us out right now. We're going to have to go away here in just a matter of a few seconds. So I want to give the numbers again, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Whatever you do, do it, whatever you amount, don't worry about the amount. Just go ahead and call in, make your contribution. We are going to appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who's already contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, please call in now with a contribution. And thanks to our guests, Bob Falk and Brad Guy. I appreciate them being with us very much. And thank you for listening. Once again, the number 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And thanks very much for listening.